Sunday, October 9th, 2011.
It's the best blog weekend show. Hop on board, we'll take you where you want to go. We're heading out to
Thursday, I put up my game preview, and I try to outline there how the Bears will go about winning the game on the coming Sunday. I don't spend a lot of time in there talking about intangibles. I try to break down the game as objectively as possible, but also slanting it towards what do the Bears need to do to win this Sunday. And this game Monday night, as I broke down yesterday, I think boils down to a few very basic football elements. But the one thing I left out of that yesterday, and I've been thinking about more as this week has gone on, is I'd like to see the two guys in contract disputes show up in a big way Monday night. And those two guys are Forte and Briggs. And let me say this about Forte. I've gotten criticized on Twitter a lot. I get bashed for not saying Forte is a top five running back in the game. All around, as a full player, I think Forte is one of the best backs in football. Is he a great running back? That I'm not convinced of. But against this defensive line, with our offensive line, I want to see a 100-yard game. I want to see Matt Forte be able to do what the Cowboys and the Vikings didn't even try to do, which is take a lead against the Lions into the second half of a ball game and put them away. I want to see Forte close. And if I see that out of Forte, maybe then I'll think back at what I've said and say I was wrong. Forte is an elite running back in this league, and he should be paid like one. But I need to see him do it against a really good team. Great in the passing game against Atlanta. Brilliant last week against Carolina. But a non-factor against the two best teams we've played so far. I'm not overlooking that yet. And as for Briggs, where the hell has he been? Has Lance Briggs made one big-time play yet this season? Or every time we look up, a running back is gushing through the second level to the third level where safeties are missing tackles. How about Lance Briggs step his game up this week, become the tackling machine he can be, 15 tackles, and take some pressure off our safeties, who we know are struggling? How about Lance Briggs play like the all-pro he is and manhandle an offensive line that has no business being on the field with him? How about that, Lance? Then I'll listen to your contract disputes. Then you can start shouting and raving about how you're underpaid. Because right now, you're overpaid. Right now, you are playing no better than Nick Roach is playing. What's Nick Roach making, about 90 bucks a game? Forte, Briggs. Big spot Monday night. Good team. Perform, then let me hear about money.
News of the weird.
I don't know about this Megatron, but I sure hope it stars Jeff Bridges. The Lions have a punter named Donahue. He was born on St. Patrick's Day. If I were the Bears, I'd stake out every Roman Catholic church in Detroit on Sunday with a bottle of Jameson and pictures of his mother.
Well, I've taken you to Canada, to Guantanamo Bay, but this time it really looks like I pulled the short straw, because I'm here in the Motor City. Welcome to Detroit.
One, two, three, four. Win, win, win some more.
I know you're pretty good. You got a quarterback. And Calvin Johnson is a beast almighty.
You won the games you should. You're tied up with the pack. And Matthew Stafford is a major whitey.
Still the Lions, still the Lions, still the Lions, still the Lions.
Woo!
Earlier in the telecast of the draft, I made a humorous remark to Ron Jaworski that could have been misconstrued to people of Polish descent. And I want to apologize because that had absolutely nothing to do I've enjoyed a great relationship with Ron Jaworski, very playful over the years. And we jab each other back and forth, and that has absolutely nothing to do with my comments toward Ron or anybody to any Polish descent. So I apologize. I meant nothing by it.
Matt Millen waits for you. He's gonna haunt your dreams. He sleeps beside your bed every evening. He's gonna meet your mom and take her on a date, then never call her back for a second time.
Still the lion, still the lion, still the lion, still the lions.
Cut! Big contest last week. John went 1-2. He is now 8-3-1. Chris went 3-0 to get to 7-5. I went 2-1. The backdoor covering of Cam Newton killed me, and I am now also at 7-5. Be sure to check out our show sponsors, FisheyeVertigo.com, BackyardBirdhouse.com. The first quarter of the season is behind us, and we enter week 5. As Mike Francesa would say, in the league where they play, for pay.
Picking and we're picking and we're picking all night, gonna. Hey, picking and we're picking all night, gonna. Picking, picking and we're picking all night, and we're gonna pick it, gonna pick it all night, gonna pick it all night, gonna pick it all night, all right. We're gonna make the picks. So John, Jeff, and Chris gonna make the picks. Sometimes the boy's going 3-0. Sometimes the boy's going to dose and do. Most of the time we'll be mediocre.
Here's what I didn't like about that Cam Newton backdoor cover, by the way. If you're Ron Rivera and you're down 11 points and you've got the ball in the red zone with more than half a minute left, you have to kick the field goal there. Because you put yourself then down only 8 points. And then if you recover the onside kick, you'll have to throw the ball into the end zone with a chance to tie the game. If you go for the touchdown there and burn all that clock, you're giving yourself no chance, none, to tie the game. It's a bad play. I'm still the champ, and here come my picks. A lot of ways you can go this week. There are some fascinating point spreads this week. It's not a great week of games, but it's a great week of point spreads because you have to make decisions on teams because some of these numbers are outlandish. And the first one is the Raiders getting 6 points from the Texans in Houston. I think this Raiders team is pretty good. And without Andre Johnson, who I don't think is going to play this week, the deep threat is taken out for the Texans, who I don't think are really that capable of putting anybody away. They should have beat the Saints. They couldn't put them away. They should have pounded the Steelers. That was a game late. I think this is going to be a game late. This strikes me as a field goal game. Getting 6 points for the Raiders, I'll take it. It's a lot of points. My second game, I'll take the Jets, getting 9 points in New England. If you don't take the Jets plus 9 points in New England, your belief is that the Jets season is over because they're going to be 2-3 then. Now, they might lose this game because they're not as good as New England right now. New England's defense will not pose any of the threats to the Jets that can hurt them. There's no pass rush. There's no secondary. The Jets should be able to drop Sanchez back without him getting harassed this week and throw it to their receivers. There are huge mismatches in this game for the Jets offense. Nobody on the Pats can cover Holmes. Nobody can cover Burris. Nobody can cover Keller. And Tomlinson should be a threat out of the backfield. The Jets should score points this week. Now, can the Jets stop Tom Brady? I don't think anybody can stop Tom Brady. But the Raiders held him to 21 points last week. If the Jets can keep Brady in the 20s, if the Jets keep the Pats in the 20s, then you have to take the points here. Jets plus 9. My last game, I have debated this game now for the better part of an hour to myself. And ultimately, I absolutely have to take it. I'll take the Packers. Minus 5.5 in Atlanta. Very few things have been certain to me in these first 4 weeks of the season, and one of them is the Packers' offense is sensational. And last week, Tavares Jackson embarrassed the Falcons in the second half. It just doesn't strike me as a good situation. Are you telling me the Packers aren't a 7-point favorite in this game? Keeping this line under 7 is giving the Falcons a lot more respect than they have earned on the field. They have a couple of wins. They had no business beating the Eagles. Vic went out of that game. They got the win. They really held on for dear life against Seattle last week. Give me the Packers. I'm pulling for the Falcons. But give me the Packers, the Jets, and the Raiders. You know what to do with those picks? Eat them with your milk.
The highway's jam with broken heroes on a last chance power drive. Everybody's out on the run tonight, but there's no place left to hide. Together, Wendy, we can live with the sadness of life.
John won't be making picks this week because he's Mr. Busy. Here come Chris's picks, featuring my nephews, Lucas and Owen.
Hi, it's Luke and Owen again. It's week 5. We were 3-0 last week, and it's a good start to cleaning up our dad's mess. We have to steal our dad's phone to call in our picks without him knowing, so we have to whisper. Here's pick number 1. Jets plus 9 points. And I'm not just saying this because it's just my favorite team. J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets.
Hey, it's Owen, and here is pick number 2. The Packers' spread is 5.5 over the Falcons. I think that the Packers are going to win because last week, Aaron Rodgers scored 6 touchdowns against the Broncos. The Falcons' defense is not much better, and the Packers' offense is real good.
Luke again, pick number 3. Chargers minus 4 over the Broncos. The Broncos' defense stinks. They can't stop it. Anything or anyone.
Jets plus 9, Packers minus 5.5, Chargers minus 4.
Hey, did anyone see my phone? What's going on in here?
Oh no, gotta go.
And the picks this week, I take the Raiders, Jets, and Packers. Chris takes the Chargers, Jets, and Packers. You cannot duplicate either of those sets of picks down below. Good luck to you. Foul language? I know I do. But if you don't, stop listening now.
Rant! 543 yards. 543 yards. That's what, the second most offense we've ever allowed and the most since the 1950s? You'd think that'd piss me off. You'd think that I'd be livid that we only squeaked out a win against the Carolina fucking Panthers and that rookie QB in his fourth career start thanks to a pick six, a 73-yard Hester kickoff return, Hester's ridiculous NFL records at an 11th punt return for a TD, a blocked field goal, a missed field goal, drops in the end zone by two of the Panthers' surest receivers, and a TD overturn thanks to a phantom offensive pass interference call on that asshole Jeremy Shockey. You'd think there'd be plenty there to be pissed about, but no. I walked out of that bar pissed about the same fucking thing I've been pissed about for the last 3 weeks, and frankly, the last 5 years. Coaching. Motherfucking coaching. Do you see what the brain trust did with our timeouts this week? In a game that quite easily could have really needed them for the final minutes, we decided to squander every single one of them because of our incorrect personnel, inability to call in plays, indecision, and overall stupidity. That, my friends, is a complete fucking unacceptable failure. Wasting timeouts on your home field because you can't get the play call in time for the second fucking game this season? Unacceptable. Burning one to avoid the 5-yard delay of game penalty because you couldn't decide whether or not to take a 24-yard field goal or go for it? Fucking unacceptable. I don't even have anything fucking cute to say about Loving and Martz anymore. It's all been fucking said. So fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, you stupid fucks. Because Megatron is fucking coming to town Monday night and you've proven yourselves barely able to beat the goddamn Carolina GoBots.
I have poke shot.
Enjoy a weekend of no football. We'll have a thread up on Sunday for all the games. We'll have some stuff up here on Monday to get you excited throughout the day. And we'll see you back here Monday night for Monday Night Football in Detroit. If you're going to drink on Sunday, don't drive, jerks.
It's the best blog weekend show.